It's the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with hosts Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. I'm your announcer, Zach Caton, and we're coming to you live on tape from the beautifully appointed Media Center at Visit Salt Lake. Wouldn't you like to record in a studio like this? Maybe you can. Visit www.visitsaltlake.com. If you'd like to hear Jimmy and Bill interview a certain guest, why don't you do what Marty Mankins did? Marty emailed the pod at the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com and said, "Hey, why don't you guys talk to Utah's liquor lawyer? Her name is Tanner Leonard." Okay, Marty, just for you, and we're glad you asked because she's a great guest, may we present Tanner Leonard with your podcast hosts, Jimmy and Bill.
That's awesome. Mostly,
when we came back, he said, "Okay, I'll take over."
Yeah.
Because landing's really the difficult part.
You know, that's it. You can't get hurt in the air.
And taking off is not that big of a problem. Just get your airspeed up.
Say that skiing.
And then I remember feeling like, as I got the airspeed up, and then all of a sudden the plane just went whoop, up in the air.
Wow.
Ooh,
you know, I mean, it just popped up.
Were you over?
And I went, "Oh, I see. That's what it's supposed to do.
That's what it's supposed to do.
It's designed to just pop up into the air.
It wants to fly. Those little things want to fly, and then they glide for ages."
And then the only thing I didn't like about it was, I had no sense of distance.
Mm.
I'd say, aren't we getting pretty close to the mountain? No,
we're far away
from the mountain.
Yeah, but that's a different perspective. Whoever has that opportunity to see a mountain up like that.
It's really fun. Going up through the canyons, and the mountains are high on both sides. And
oh, yeah, that would be kind of terrifying.
Circling over Alta, yeah.
You want terrifying. I was on a plane that flew into the most dangerous airport in the world.
Telluride?
Lukla.
Where's that?
Nepal.
Oh, my word.
It's the world's most dangerous airfield.
I believe it.
If you Google world's most dangerous airfield, Lukla pops up.
And
you fly in between these two gigantic Himalayan mountains. And
that sounds spectacular.
It's like about a 15-seater prop jet.
Yeah.
And you fly, and then the runway goes up, you know, to stop the plane.
And then you have to probably take off the other.
Yeah, they turn it around, and it's just one. It's just one way in, one way out.
Right. Well, it's like that in Tahoe, but a little less. There's a field on the south side of Lake Tahoe, and it that's one of the reasons why it's so dangerous. Because usually everybody's going the same direction, takeoff, landing, right? Not in these where you just
Yeti Airways. So we get on the plane, and this guy couldn't get his seatbelt to work. There was a flight attendant on this plane, a little cute little woman, you know, and she came around with a basket of cotton. I said, "What's the cotton balls for?" "Put them in your ears."
Okay.
"Put them in your ears, you know, for pressure and the sound and all of that."
Okay.
And then she brought around a little candy, but this guy couldn't get his seatbelt to work, and she was helping, and she finally said, "It's broken. Look, if there's any problem, just grab the seat in front of you."
She's just fine.
Tied in a knot, right?
If there's any reason for you to need the seatbelt, you're not going to need the seatbelt.
That's true.
Probably.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, but when you get home, just Google world's
I'm
most
gonna look into that and be like, "Bill's been there, done that." That's amazing.
And you'll see there's a lot of video of crashes and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
I
don't need to see that.
Yeah, that's exciting though. And how long have you been flying?
I got my license in the turn of the century, 99. Mm. So I've been flying a pilot longer than I haven't been one.
How long have you been a lawyer?
13 this year. Yeah.
We'll get into how one becomes a liquor lawyer.
Yes.
I'm really interested in that. So we're rolling, I would assume.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Everybody set?
Yeah.
Check your seatbelts.
We got our wine.
Make sure that your tray table is in the
upright and locked position.
Upright and locked position. Make sure your seat. You know what pisses me off? I'm flying Delta. I went down to Mexico last week, and aisle seat. I like an aisle seat. But and they say even, you know, if the armrest of your aisle seat is up, please put it in the down position. It didn't work. They never go up.
I think it's the one to your right, and then it's in the center. I think that one's a hard
one. That one will go, but the one that's on the aisle, there's a button, but it.
They used to, and
gotcha.
Not, yeah.
I think they disabled
them. Yeah.
All right, we're going to get into this. We'll talk about flying, but mainly we're going to talk about lawyers and liquor. Lawyers and liquor, that's a great combination with our guest. This is Tanner Leonard.
That's right.
Correct? We will talk to Tanner all about being a liquor lawyer. I didn't even know there was such a thing. But first, let's thanks for watching this and tuning into this. And thank you to our sponsor, Beehive Cheese, which we have some here. What kind of cheese is it, Jim?
Apple walnut smoked. So it's the Promontory encased with smoked walnuts, apple chips, and beautiful stuff.
We'll sample
help
that
yourself
in a second.
Throughout, yeah.
Beehive Cheese in a league of its own. Utah's Beehive Cheese elevates humble cheddar to artisanal greatness with spirited flavors that spark conversation. We'll talk a little bit about the cheese. Producing award-winning cheeses that bring friends and family together, Beehive Cheese earned first place at the 2022 American Cheese Society competition and were named makers of the best American cheese at the World Cheese Awards in 2021, earning the Slow Food Snail of Approval late 2022. Beehive Cheese is also one of the only 7 American cheesemakers to be B Corp certified. Ms. Leonard, do you know what B Corp certified is?
That's when you're able to, when the profits are all good. I don't know. I am not that kind of lawyer.
I didn't know, so I had to put a footnote here. It's a designation that a business is meeting high standards of verified performance, accountability, and transparency on factors from employee benefits, charitable giving to supply chain practices, and input materials.
They're all good. That's what I said.
All good things. That's right there.
That's basically what you said.
I should. To that.
All right.
Cheers. Thank you.
So, attorney at law, where did you get your bona fides?
I went to university at a little school in South Carolina called Furman University that last year upset quite a few people's March Madness brackets. And then I took about 7 years off around the world and then came to the University of Utah for law school.
Okay. And did you, what did you think you wanted to specialize in?
I knew more about what I didn't want to do. I knew I didn't want to deal with the family law, criminal law, although I have to say my professors up at the U showed me why people would want to go into that, just not me. Like everybody deserves a lawyer. That's not me. But then I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. I graduated in 2011, which was a really tough time out there for young lawyers. So I was just happy to get a job.
And criminal law. I mean, I'm good friends with a criminal lawyer. So how do you do that? Why would you do that? And he said what you just said, because everybody deserves a lawyer. Everybody needs a lawyer. I defend a lot of people who are guilty as hell, but that's our system, and they need a lawyer.
That's right. If that person's rights start to erode, all of ours do.
Exactly. So you find yourself as, it says here you are Utah's liquor lawyer.
I'm a liquor lawyer for Utah. I think I was on the cover of City Weekly about 7 years ago. It came from that. And I mean, I'm going to run with that.
If somebody says it. Yeah.
But what people sometimes get mixed up on when they hear that is, think I am employed by the state. And I am not.
In no way.
I work with the state every single day. I'm on the phone with people from the DABS or having meetings or going to hearings with them all the time. But my clients are bars, restaurants, hotels, and then alcohol manufacturers here in Utah, which actually is just massively booming.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Number of distillers.
I remember when years ago, Jeff and Peter, and I've told this story before, brought Squatters Pub Brewery to downtown Salt Lake. And it was the first of its kind in Salt Lake, right. And it was like, we did ads for them, and it was amazing. And now you can't swing a dead cat that you won't hit. You won't hit a brewery somewhere. I mean, they're everywhere.
They are, and I feel like it's coming back. I mean, that's part of Utah's history. Are the yeah. you know the wineries and vineyards sure. down south, especially
in Tocqueville, Utah, had the first winery, Fisher Brewing.
Fisher back.
You know.
Yeah.
Cool Brigham see. Young, you know, had the beer and wine market here mm-hmm. in Salt Lake. He cornered the market. Wasn't there something called Beehive Valley Tan? Is mm-hmm. that what it is? What do you know what that was?
It was a spirit. It was a whiskey, and Mark Twain called it snake juice and scorpion spit, among other wonderful harsh.
So you find yourself gravitating toward this. You work for a firm, I assume.
I work for a firm now, Christensen and Jensen, that is one of the oldest in Utah, and they have been fabulously supportive of my little niche that I have. I actually didn't start right out of school working for them. I was working for another firm, and they had one franchise restaurant that I kind of started doing some work with them. And then when I went over to Christensen and Jensen and they asked me, like, what are you interested in doing? I said, well, you know what? That was the most fun. That was the most fun was what I had doing that. And I just thought if you know what people say, if you can have fun working, you never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
I still work an awful lot, but it is a little bit more fun as an attorney. So that was 2012, and I just set my sights on figuring out how to make that my biggest part of my practice. And I mean, it took years of going to national conferences and finding out what other attorneys in other states do, because there's an attorney who does what I do in every single state. Like, somebody has to have a, you know, help. Mm-hmm. And every state has odd liquor laws.
Oh, I know.
Utah.
I've run afoul of them in many.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, 17 control states.
Yeah, there's 17 states. Control states. Is there still the county in Maine or something like that? Isn't there something?
There's so many different counties that have their own laws. Mm. Pennsylvania is out of control.
I lived there.
Yeah.
Maryland has, you know, if you're on this side of the street, it's one thing. If you're on the other side of the street, it's another.
Kind of makes Utah not so bad, because we just have an umbrella of laws, right?
I was speaking to a reporter, I think from USA Today or something, who covers national, you know, alcohol and food and beverage. And he said, you know, everybody has these crazy laws. Utah gets the worst rap, though, because we change them every single year. And every single year, it's what are we doing next?
Is it true, I've heard people say about Utah liquor laws, that every time they do change them up every year, mm-hmm. they'll liberalize something. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to give you this,
yes,
but we're going to take this away.
Yes.
Do they really do that?
Oh, I very much see that. I see that every year there's something a little different, which this is probably a really good time for me to make my spiel about, though I am a lawyer, I'm not your lawyer. If you want me to be, give me a call. Nothing I say is legal advice at this point, especially since I'm having a glass of wine. Yeah.
What is this wine, Jimmy?
This is by Andre Mack. It's a rosé called Love Drunk by Maison Noir Wines. Andre Mack's kind of a hero of mine. He's a sommelier in the industry. He's a spokesperson. And this is special order wine.
Does he do the Bon Appetit?
Yes, he does. That's him. With the cap.
Yes.
Cap. He's an African-American fella, and he's just super cool, very approachable. I share a lot of passion with him and approach to communicating wine, but he is a king in that discipline. Chardonnay and a touch of Pinot Noir. He's a négociant, so he sources the fruit, blends it together, and has playful logos. And their Pinot, we used to bring in when I was over at Copper Onion, OPP, Other People's Pinot, back in the day with the rap thing. So he's very playful, but the wines are spot on.
Very good.
So,
very good. And you were about to launch into, and I interrupted you.
No, I wanted to hear. I'm thrilled to hear about that. I didn't know he did wines. He's just such a great educator. He reminds me of you.
Oh, it's very nice of you to say.
Yes, so the legislature, almost every year that I've been doing this, certainly, they have an omnibus bill, and there will be something that is for the industry. So there's, you know, always a lot of changes. One of them this year is, if you have a hotel license, we're going to be able the hotels are going to be able to make a corridor where you're going to be able to take your glass of wine if I haven't finished it, or if, you know, we bought a bottle and we're wanting to take it up, they have to put it into an opaque container and you can take it up to your room.
And you couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that before. But then there's other things.
That's terrible. I mean, visitors here staying at hotels, they go, what? I can't, what?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a legislator, it was about a week or two ago, it was online, and he took pictures of a lobby in Hawaii where you couldn't take your beverage from the restaurant through the lobby because it said no alcohol beyond this point. It was through Visit Salt Lake where we're recording this. It was one of their live features. So again, weird laws everywhere,
Weird laws everywhere. And then it's different because sometimes it's laws and sometimes it's just businesses trying to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you don't always know.
Did they take away something this last round that you kind of was, that you could think of?
They didn't take away anything big that I was really disappointed in that I can think of off the top of my head. I was really disappointed. The biggest one that they've taken away recently was the ability to get any kind of variance. We used to be able to say if you're within 300 feet of a school or church or park, if you got a letter from the city saying, hey, we're cool with that, you can be close to the park. We used to be able to get that in there, and now we can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's not this year, that was a few years ago, but that was the biggest one that I keep hoping they'll give us that back.
That must have been a variance. I remember the departed fine dining establishment, the Sizzler, up by Sugar House Park.
Yes.
And you could get wine there. You could have wine there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's right on the edge of the park, so
that must have been some kind of variance.
Yeah. But at the Summum Pyramid.
Yes,
They're not going to allow.
They say it meets the definition of a religious entity, mm-hmm. And so you can't have a bar within 600 feet of that, and you can't have a restaurant within 300 feet of that, and that's pedestrian mm-hmm. travel. But what's amazing is that they hold Utah's first manufacturing license.
0001.
Yeah, they are. I think it's some, they don't sell to the public that I know, but they make some kind of peach liqueur. I mean, I've never been in, I've never seen it, but they have their own.
You don't have any interest in mummification.
We know a guy.
I was going to ask you about now it slipped my mind. Mm. I hate it when that happens.
Well, you know, you have a lot of, we were talking about the manufacturing license there, 001. It's so funny because High West is 003.
Really?
So I was wondering who was the
number
one and
two. Yeah.
So it turned out the 02 was, they never manufactured, they just had to manufacture a distillate to then put in herbs that then went into creams that you could then sell to people for those people to sell to their friends.
Wow.
To sell to their friends, and it's an organization down in Provo, MLM. So it was really interesting to see one of the earlier manufacturers mm-hmm. being of a certain faith that they weren't even selling booze at all, but you need the manufacturing license.
Yeah.
I remember the direction I wanted to go here.
Oh, good.
I've heard people starting up restaurants, bars, bitterly complain about the fact that they have to get everything in place, spend all of the money getting things ready without knowing whether they'll get a liquor license or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't that be fixed somehow?
Well, the legislature did change that a little bit this year. They said that if Utah has a license available and somebody applying for it has everything ready to go, that they're supposed to under statute, like you've got your property, you have your your backgrounds have all gotten checked, and you have a few things that are all set up to go. You don't have to be ready to open your doors anymore to get that license, if they have a license to give out.
If they have one to give out.
So I think we'll go back to having, technically you have 18 months to open your door after you've gotten that license. So there are still
things that
you have to have, but being able to get it if you've got, again, go back to the local consent from that local city saying, yeah, we're happy to have you here. It should get a little easier.
Did they increase the number of licenses available this last time?
They did. It's I think it got a lot of ballyhoo in the press about, yay, we're getting it out. And it, when you look at it, it's just a few every year. So it is an increase, which is great.
So based on population?
Population
number
size.
Number of licenses per number of people?
So right now, say for bar licenses, I think it's one for every 10,200 people. And in July, that number will go down to about one for every 10,000 people. I'm just rounding here because they're really randomly assigned numbers. And then in July 2025, that population will go down one for every 9,000 and something people, all the way down. And over the course of the next decade, it'll go down. And so we will get more technically, but it's going to take a while.
And then, and yet when events come to town, Olympic events, other events come to town, the outdoor show.
Outdoor retailer.
All of a sudden, a lot of the laws are just, you know, out the window. Let's just, you know, let's have a good time.
I don't agree with that, for sure. I definitely have had clients that are bars and restaurants that will get in trouble for doing things after hours, especially that they're not supposed to do. If you're a restaurant or a bar, you're supposed to stop serving wine and liquor at 1 a.m. You have another hour that you can serve light beer, but you're not supposed to, even if it's a private party, you're not supposed to keep on selling alcohol and or having alcohol on the premises. And it was not a free-for-all.
No. Can you sell low beer packaged out of a bar, like a takeaway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. That was clarified during the early days of the pandemic. The DABS said no, and then they said, actually, yes, that's in the law. You're allowed to do it. And so we cleared that up. But that's the whole.
But it's 4%. It's
5%.
5% low. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the department got a, I'm not sure what it's called, a spectrometer. It's only been a couple of years where they can actually go and test it. They never had
one. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so they can go test if what's on tap or what you're selling to go is 5%.
What's really exciting is the canned cocktail. I didn't mention this.
That's...
Would you mind speaking to that? That is super exciting.
Yeah, so.
That being able to be sold out of the restaurants.
Which is restaurants and bars. So in up until, gosh, I think the law goes into effect in May, every single drop of hard liquor had to come through a Berg system, a measuring device. And so any of the canned cocktails that used any kind of ethanol-based alcohol in them, saying, well, that's coming through a pop top. That's not coming through the Berg system. And if you want to sell that, you've got to pour it through a measure. And, you know, nobody's going to do that. Even though some of those have a very low alcohol percentage.
6%, some range up 10, maybe 13 here and there.
But they were saying you couldn't do it, and they got some language in the legislation this year. So starting in May, people will be able to buy and sell those.
And that wasn't necessarily, a Utah. They were mimicking more of a federal on how it was interpreted, right? The spiritus liqueur, if it was a distillate and versus, say, malt beverages, you know, there was that kind of a thing.
We do have a very specific definition of what is beer and what makes a spirit. And I think we go above and beyond in our Utah code than the federal statutes. So yeah,
I remember scratching her head with Kathy Stevenson back when she was with,
and
we were just like, I'm not really sure. She called me, I called her, like, how is all this working? Nobody really knew. Nobody. So we deferred to you.
How much of your work as being liquor lawyer, how much of your work is involved in keeping clients on the straight and narrow, keeping them from running afoul of the laws, helping them to not run afoul of laws, and how much of the work that you do is trying to get people liquor licenses that have been denied back and that sort of thing?
I think I'd say the majority of my time is spent with licensing. So whether that is obtaining new licenses for people or lots of transfers. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people buying and selling businesses. And so you can't sell a liquor license, but you can transfer it as part of the sale of the business. So that's the majority of my practice, I would say. And then helping people stay compliant, I really wish they would call me more often, because usually I get the calls a little too late.
After they've made the mistake,
but I really do enjoy getting to talk with people who are, you know, they might have me review their marketing or some ad campaigns, things like that. Mm. You know, we want to put this on our menu. Are we allowed to do this? We want a frosé machine. Can we do frosé? Took about a year, but yes, the answer is
wow.
Yes.
A little frosé all day.
In my business on the radio, it's kind of loosened up, you know, but I mean, we can't give away any beverage products. We used to not be able to really even talk about that very much, but we still certainly can't. If you, let's say we have a prize that's a t-shirt with a liquor logo on it or something. We can give that away, but we can't give it away to somebody who's under the age of 21.
Wow.
It's a t-shirt.
It's a t-shirt.
Right, right.
Yeah, sometimes the federal laws come into play with things like that. It's things of value and manufacturers. And so in Utah, we pretty much just mirror what the feds say.
If you could just write the liquor laws yourself, what would be the ideal world?
I think first I'm still happy that it, I would still be happy to have it be licensed. I think it's fine for it to be a controlled substance. I don't think we need to just have a free for all there. My number one thing that I would take away from our current statutes is what Utah has called express language. Unless something is written in there, you cannot do anything else. So the DABS staff has very little flexibility in how these things are interpreted. So I would first of all take that out. I would give more local control to the cities, which makes me sound like a Republican. I'm a registered independent, but I am all for local control in this. I think that you know, what works for Park City does not work for Santa Quinn. Yeah. And they need to be able to have a little bit more. Right now, the Santa Quins of the world are able to be more controlling, but we're not allowed the other cities and places to be a little less controlling and make things that fit them. So those are the two big changes I think I would have.
If you could change just one liquor law.
The express language one. I would just get rid of that. And then I would have so many more arguments I could make. I could point to other states. It really hampers innovation in business. Yeah.
How much of your time do you spend in your office, and how much of your time do you spend going out to liquor establishments?
Oh, goodness. The thing is I usually go, when I go to a place, it's usually getting built, and I'm wearing a hard hat. I'm not actually getting to go out and have a drink, which is unfortunate.
It's under construction.
Right?
Oh, gadget, yeah.
Always. We're trying to get, you know, we're trying to make the deadline so that we can get those licenses. I would say 90% either in my office, a lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of phone calls, and then the other, you know, 10-20% is either it's still Zoom meetings with the DABS, but there are sometimes a lot of meetings with them, lots of phone calls.
Attorneys.
Well, they have the Attorney General's office has an attorney,
that.
And then a couple.
<I'm sorry. laughs>
I work with a really nice gentleman up there. He's always very responsive and helpful, whose name is not known to the public, really.
Good.
Yeah. But then, establishments, I love getting to go and do a walk around. And But actually, I usually will be looking at floor plans, before we even get to the built stage, because it's a lot cheaper to move things around to
be in compliance. Pony walls too far, too close, or whatever.
So, what explain that?
Well, one of the biggest issues that people have, especially if they're coming from out of state and they've used floor plans similar somewhere else, is you'll have your, you know, beautiful bar structure that when we go in and there's the host desk and there's the bar right there. Well, minors are not allowed to stand within 10 feet of that bar structure, right? They're allowed to pass through. But if you're as a hostess right there, the natural thing to do is come in, stand, and wait to be seated. We're not allowed to do that if the bar is within 10 feet. So we gotta move either the door or you gotta move this. And again, moving the door, we've definitely done a few of those when we've gotten a little too close to a church or school or a park or a library, where we've moved doors.
A library.
just 3 feet down,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're legal.
But it's not the way the crow flies, it's the pedestrian. So you gotta walk on the street and you measure it out. I've had friends help me out do that, and we zoomed it, or Google mapped it.
Yep, Google
and
Maps.
And we were within, I was 15 feet shy, and there was no way to get around it. But that was at the Blue Mouse Theater.
Oh yeah.
That we were gonna activate and do a little bar down there, but it was just too close.
So painful. I've had a few of those recently.
The Episcopal Church would have been fine with
it. Yeah, exactly. They would have written you a letter.
They wouldn't have.
Although
but
it surprised
that's no
me
longer.
In the Summum, the pyramid people said, no, we're a religion. You can't build it. You can't. I remember Gina saying on the radio, oh, I'm sure they'd be fine with it. No, they're not.
Wow.
Well, because they are fiercely guarding their position as a legitimate religion.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just a quick, let's run through this food quiz really quickly, and then you have some news, probably.
Yes.
Your favorite beer, spirit, or wine?
I mean, just, I love a glass of bubbles.
Anytime.
I've got a Saber for Christmas, so I'd love to do a good Saber.
Yeah, I've been practicing.
Have you done it?
Oh yes, several times. I found that the best way to prepare for it is when you've got a big snowbank and just put it upside down in that snow. It gets it to the perfect temperature
nice.
To be able to.
What's the strangest thing you've eaten?
About 8 years ago, I was pregnant, and we were in Bruges, and I had a lovely fillet of stingray skates.
Nice.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I definitely did my little like Google search. Is this okay for me to eat? And it was wonderful.
Really?
But it also was a very odd shape. I've never eaten anything that shape before.
And then, if you were stuck eating one thing for the rest of your life, it would be.
I absolutely love bread and cheese, and if I could be specific, it would be Red Bicycle Bakery and Beehive Cheese.
There you go.
They are up in Park City.
Park City, yeah. Mm-hmm. High salt, good yeast that they use. It's like a sourdough-ish kind of a, if I recall correctly. Yeah.
I don't know what's inside, but it's so good.
But it's definitely the crack of bread, they say, you know. They, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Kyoto. Is your go-to restaurant?
It is. We live just a little.
Peggy's over
there. They still have a Radio from Hell role there. I think because is Peggy still there?
Yeah, she's taking over. Yeah, Peggy's over there.
When she had the place
Ichiban. Yeah.
We did a lot of ads for her, and she created a Radio from Hell. So
that's
she
awesome.
That's awesome.
And she still does.
We should go.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
I'll have to try that next time.
Yeah. Kyoto, it's been there forever, and it's busy all the day.
It's always busy.
There's a line out the door on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
it's
mm-hmm.
great. I love it. I'm so happy for them. Yeah, they do a good job.
All right, Jimmy, splash of news.
Splash of news, and I do want to say I was at Furman last week. I was in South Carolina.
Get out.
Bicycle down the path, beautiful pond in
it's
the front.
Beautiful campus.
Gorgeous campus. Saw the girls
Nobody
doing their softball practice.
Good team.
Crushing it. And my son's a school teacher out there. So,
love
anyways.
It.
A little splash of news, just two quick articles. One, tequila with a pinch of pepper. That's right, tequila brand Ghost Tequila has launched Ghost Reposado, a premium aged 100% blue agave reposado tequila, enhanced with a pinch of ghost pepper. So this is the deal. Chris Petty of Ghost Tequila is quoted saying, with the growing demand in the spicy category, we witnessed incredibly strong growth in Ghost Tequila's Blanco sales last year and are now thrilled to introduce the new expression, Ghost Reposado. So tequila can be Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo. It depends on how long it's aged in the barrel. The Reposado, in this case, is a blend of six-year-old mature agave, slow-cooked in brick ovens, crushed and distilled, then rested for 2 to 4 months in American white oak, toasted large barrels, then infused with a pinch of ghost pepper. The result is the Reposado tequila that offers more depth, boasting a quick hit of heat followed by a fruity, smooth finish. So I took it upon myself. I always like to see these fun products. I looked up Ghost Tequila in the DABS online app. We carry it. Special order. We carried their Blanco last year, $35 a bottle. Available special order, so you do have to buy a 12-pack of it. But somewhere here in Utah has Ghost Tequila, whether on their shelves or in their home.
I'd like to try that.
I think that would be fun to try. Here's something, an article that, in Utah Beverage News, the Department of Alcohol and Beverage Services rolled out a new process to get your hands on allocated products. The process is intended to build greater transparency and accessibility for customers wanting to purchase these items. How to purchase allocated products? Well, they're available for purchase in selected stores on the third Saturday of each month.
What do you mean by allocated product?
So these are products that they're not generally listed. We don't have hundreds and hundreds. We got like six or nine. This would be more like Pappy Van Winkle or something.
It's not the ones that are at the very, very top. Pappy's. Because I tweeted exactly what you said, yeah. And DABS tweeted back at me, actually. So it's kind of more that, like, middle tier.
It's
like
middle
everything's
tier.
Listed down here. Pappy's, we're still going to have the opportunity drawings. And then this is more the special allocation. Okay. So, but the, in effect, they let you know where it's going to be. So you can be there. I was up at getting myself some bicycle bread at the market in Park City, and there was a line.
Snow Creek
at
store
10
must have been.
A.M. Yeah. It was full because people knew there was some good stuff there.
They tell you the store, it's first come, first serve, limited to one product per transaction. Now, how are you going to know about this? Well, the DABS website, beginning on the third Monday of each month, no later than the Thursday at 5 p.m. that week, will list the store location where products will be available. So, greater transparency. That's great.
It's been well received from what I've heard, and I think we've only had one Saturday of it.
It's
people
only been
are
one month,
already
yeah, March.
Saying good stuff.
Yeah, the DABS has kind of loosened up a little bit, I think, and. I really like we talked to just this whole thing of now we're going to be able to pre-order and then just go to
makes
the store
good
and pick,
sense.
It, pick it up, you know, pay for your liquor online, go to the store, show them your ID and pick it up.
I think it's great.
That's great. And if they'd ever get that downtown state store open, what the hell? Is it still the elevator they're having?
I think it's
problems?
The elevator. It's an up and down. It's back and forth. And that's your splash of news.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Well, that's about done. So you came to us as a guest, as a recommend, and I'm not sure how that happened, but a long time friend of the program of this show, this podcast.
Marty.
Yeah, Marty Mankins. I've encountered him many, many times over the years. You know Marty, or?
I'm terrible with names. I'm gonna be really embarrassed if Marty's one of my buddies that I'm like, oh yeah, Marty.
Oh, Marty.
But thanks to Marty,
suggested you really ought to have Tanner Leonard on the show. It's great.
Awesome.
Right, so we did.
Well, I'm glad that I got to be here.
If you have any guest suggestions, you can send them. Just. Use our email, which is the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. If you have any criticisms or complaints, keep them to yourself. You don't give a shit about what you think. That's not true. If you have complaints, let us know. And if you'd like to come and watch a taping of the show, of the podcast, you can do that too. Just let us know. The Let's Go Eat Show. At gmail.com. Thank you to everybody. Thank you for watching, subscribing. Go to the YouTube and watch us live. Or you know, you can just listen to it as a podcast, but it's really fun to watch us live because I'm so incredibly into.
Cheers to that. Thank you,
Thank
Tanner.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy Santangelo.
Mr. Allred.
And for all of us, and thank you, Dawson. Salud.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Jimmy Santangelo. You can contact Jimmy at www.thewineacademyofutah.com. As for Bill Allred, it might be best to just leave him alone. Stop asking. Comments, questions, guest requests, or angry complaints to the management should be directed to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show is produced by Dawson Dow. Our theme music was composed and recorded by Doug Wild. Recording facilities, as needed, are by the Visit Salt Lake Media Center at www.visitsaltlake.com. The show is a Double Plus production. I'm Zach Caton. Utah's liquor lawyer, is she the one I'd talk to about getting buzzballs at the Mavericks?
Sometimes, you know, you just want to go to the corner store to guarantee the rest of your night's going to suck.